This is Jamie from Stonemaier Games, and today I'm going to talk about my top 10 game recommendations if you love our game, Euphoria. So this is the second game that we published at Stonemaier Games, the second game that I designed with my co-founder, Alan Stone. I've done a few of these videos in this series, and basically the idea is that I take a game that we publish, and I talk about 10 games, most of them from other publishers, that I recommend if you like certain elements of Euphoria or all of Euphoria. And it works the other way too. If you find that you like a lot of games on this list, you might enjoy Euphoria too. You can find it in game stores or on our web store. I guess I should say up front what Euphoria is. Euphoria is a dystopian-themed dice worker placement game for 1 to 6 players. It plays 2 to 6 players out of the box. The expansion brings in the solo mode. There's an expansion, Ignorance is Bliss, to the game that brings in the solo mode. There's a lot of different stuff in the game. I will mention it as I go through this list. Some honorable mentions to start out with are Kingsburg, Castles of Burgundy, Stone Age, Quantum, Coimbra, Artemis Project, and A Study in Emerald. Those are the two that I haven't played, but I've heard them recommend as compared to Euphoria. And then two games, The Networks and The Rival Networks and Clank, are two games that really don't have anything mechanically to do with Euphoria, but they would fit into a category, if I had an 11th category, of games that use kind of subtle humor in serious games. I think Clank and The Networks do that really well. And it's not even not so subtle humor. There's just humor in these games where they wink at a lot of other forms of fiction and works of fiction in games with serious game mechanisms. And I think that's something that Euphoria does. I try to do that in Euphoria, winking at a lot of dystopian fiction, movies, TV series, books, things like that. And I think The Networks and Clank do a good job of that as well. So let's jump right into the top 10 list. And let's start out with the one game that I'll include from Stonemaier Games, which is Charterstone. Charterstone does not have dice other than the Charterstone itself. The main corollary to Charterstone is that Charterstone uses the bumping workers mechanism that I used in Euphoria, which I think is one of the first games to use this mechanism. Others have used it since. But in Euphoria, the idea is that you are placing your dice on a certain spot on the board or any one of many different spots on the board and taking an action on your turn. And you, if there is another die there, on many of the spaces, you can bump that die off and it goes back to that worker, that worker's owner. And Charterstone uses the same mechanism. It doesn't have dice, but it uses workers where if there's a worker from another player that's on a spot that you want to take, you can bump their worker off and use that action. For the most part, this is available for most of the different workers and most of the different actions. And the reason I love this mechanism is that and it's tied to another thing that I'll mention in a minute with another game, but it makes sure that all actions are available at all times to all players. And it really helps with the flow of the game too, because it means that you don't need rounds of the game or times in the game where you say, okay, everyone, now is the time to collect your workers from the board, which works in many worker placement games, including several other worker placement games that I've designed. But I like that it eliminates the need for that, because it just means that on your turn, you are either placing a worker or you are retrieving workers. And many times you can get those workers bumped back. I'm actually foreshadowing a little bit about another mechanism that I mentioned in a minute, but that is the core relation to Charterstone here, that you get to bump workers back, whether they're your own workers or workers of another player. That's number 10, Charterstone. At number 9, I have Teotihuacan, a game that I probably mispronounce, I always do. It is a heavier game than Euphoria, but they are very similar games in terms of their dice worker placement games. Teotihuacan is more about moving workers around the board, but you're moving to different actions, and the value of those actions depends on the number of pips on your die, which is also directly related to Euphoria. The main thing that I wanted to mention about Teotihuacan is the idea of worker death. In Euphoria, there is a way, so basically when you retrieve your workers, retrieve your dice, you have to roll them at that point. And if your knowledge, if the collective worker knowledge is too high, based on the number of pips that you roll on the dice and a knowledge track on the board, if that total number is too high, the smartest of your workers, the worker with the most pips after that roll, runs away. They have learned that they are in a dystopia and they run away. And so it gives you a reason to to actually pay attention to knowledge in the game. You need to keep your knowledge pretty low. You need to keep your workers dumb and happy, basically, is the theme of this game, is the dystopian theme. And it's fairly easy to get a worker again. It doesn't set you behind too much. But that's what I did in Euphoria. In Teotihuacan, there is kind of at a certain point in the game, your workers will they're aging, basically. They're getting smarter. They're getting better doing actions, but they're also aging. And they die eventually when they have too many pips. I think it's when they would move from 6 to 7 pips, but there aren't 7 pips on a D6, and they die. And when that worker dies, you get a special bonus, one of several different bonuses that you can choose. And I kind of wish I had done this with Euphoria, because in Euphoria it is strictly a bad thing when your worker runs away. In Teotihuacan, it actually feels pretty good. Even though your worker's gotten really smart, they're very useful, you kind of wish they could hang around, but you get these really good bonuses just from having that worker go away, and you get to reset that worker at the beginning of the board as a one-level worker, so you get the worker back right away anyway. So I really like the way that Teotihuacan handled that, I think even better than I did in Euphoria, designed years before Teotihuacan. So that's my number 9 game on this list. At number 8, I have Tsoken. Tsoken is a wonderful game about placing workers on these gears, and the gears age the workers and get better and better. But the core thing here is, this is the one where I said there's a bit of foreshadowing when I was talking about Charterstone, is the flow of the game. There are rounds in Tsoken, but they're barely needed because really the in-between round thing that you do is just turn the center dial. That's all you do, and kind of age all the workers on the board. But I love the flow of Tsoken, and I would compare it to the flow of Euphoria, in that on your turn you are either placing workers or you are retrieving workers. And this is why the bumping workers mechanism in Euphoria is so important, because if you bump your own worker, or if you bump another player's worker, or if someone bumps your worker, say, we'll use that example, if someone bumps your worker and you get to take that worker back, it means that that's one more turn that you get to take, where you don't have to basically use a turn just to retrieve workers, which isn't entirely a dead turn. There are some good things that can happen related to some recruit cards in Euphoria, but it is somewhat of a dead turn. You're not doing much other than retrieving workers. And so it feels really good when you have a worker bumped back to you, because it's one more turn where that you don't have to just spend a turn retrieving workers. And Tsoken has a very similar flow to that. It doesn't have the bumping workers, but it does have the flow of you're either just placing workers on your turn or you are retrieving workers. And Tsoken is a little different. You're placing any number of workers and paying an escalating amount of food to place more and more workers. In Euphoria, you're generally only placing one worker, but then you have these retrieve turns in Tsoken as well. Tsoken also has some other comparisons that I'll delve deeper into other games, but Tsoken was actually a major inspiration for Euphoria. It came out, I think, right before Euphoria. I was finishing up Euphoria's design, and it has a really cool tech track over on the right side of the board in Tsoken, where you are advancing in various technologies and getting better at doing some of the core things that you're doing in the game, like gathering food, acquiring tiles, things like that. And that directly tied into the allegiance track mechanism of Euphoria. So that's Tsoken at my number 8 game on this list. I haven't mentioned many dice worker placement mechanisms here, but I'll be getting to them soon. Although I did mention that with Teotihuacan. And number 7 is another game without dice, and that is Dune Imperium. Dune Imperium has a few different corollaries to Euphoria. One is that it's a worker placement game. Two, it has these influence tracks on the right side of the board. And with those influence tracks, you are gaining different bonuses as you work your way up these influence tracks. And it really feels a lot like the allegiance tracks in Euphoria, where you're essentially going deeper down. You're choosing one of several paths or a couple different paths. It's tough to progress on all of them, but you're choosing a couple different paths and getting bonuses as you move up on that track. Very similar to the allegiance track in Euphoria. The theme is not tongue-in-cheek in Dune Imperium, but it is kind of a futuristic theme. And it's mainly those tracks that I would compare to Dune Imperium, but the worker placement also has a little similar feel to it. So that is Dune Imperium at number 7. At number 6 is the idea of expanding actions. So in Euphoria, there are marketplaces on the board, markets, these market tiles that start out on the board face down. And together with other players, I'll mention that in a second, that mechanism, but together with other players, you can construct these markets. And when you do, you flip over the tiles and they become permanent worker placement action spots that you can go to. And so I wanted to mention this mechanism of expanding actions. You have a board that starts out, I wouldn't say simply in Euphoria. There are a number of actions when you open the game, but you expand the actions as you play. And Lords of Waterdeep, I think, does that absolutely wonderfully. There are other games. I've actually have a full top 10 video about this topic, but I think Lords of Waterdeep is at or near the top of that list because of the way that you can build buildings in Lords of Waterdeep and open up new actions for all players to use. And so that idea of expanding actions is represented by Lords of Waterdeep in comparison to Euphoria. That's at number six on this list. At number five, we have Architects of the West Kingdom. In addition to Teotihuacan, this Architects of the West Kingdom has a mechanism where your workers don't die, but they can be sent to jail. So if you have a bunch of workers on one space, another player is likely to come into that space and send those workers to jail. And you have to kind of spend a few turns to get them, or spend, I believe it's at least one turn to get them out of jail. But it's not really a bad thing. You actually get some stuff when you get those workers out of jail, but it does set you back a little bit. And so I wanted to compare that a little bit to the runaway workers in Euphoria, because there is a way to incorporate into this flow of the game where you're just placing workers, that there is a way to, there's another way beyond just retrieving workers to get those workers back. And I think Architects does that well. Also, I would compare Architects to the Allegiance tracks again in Euphoria, because there's a track in Architects of the West Kingdom, the Virtue track, that has a big impact on the game. And not just in terms of points, but in terms of the different actions that you can even use in the game, or the efficacy of those actions, how powerful those actions are, depending on if you are virtuous or if you have a very bad reputation. So, for example, if you are really virtuous, you can't go to the black market, but and so that can hurt you. But there are better things that can happen high up on the virtue track, and there's something that's kind of the opposite of that on the negative reputation side of that track. And I would compare this to the Allegiance tracks, because in Euphoria, the Allegiance tracks can, as you work up your way up on these tracks, you don't just get, so there are a few one-time bonuses on the tracks, but more so they increase the power of general actions on the board. So if I move up the Wastelander track in Euphoria, I get better at gaining food. Whenever I go to the food area, the food commodity area for the Wastelanders, I get an additional food when I go there, if I've advanced on that particular track. And so that having this track that has some ongoing abilities is what I was aiming for with this comparison to Architects of the West Kingdom, as well as the worker jail system in this game. So that's at number five on this list. At number four, I'm back to a game with some dice, and that is Space Base. Space Base is a game where you're not really building your pool of dice. Well, actually, in one of the expansions you can, and Shy Pluto you can. But the main comparison in Space Base is the positive player interaction. Because in Euphoria, one of the magical moments that I had during the design process for Euphoria was when I was constructing, I wanted to construct a market in Euphoria, which takes several players to do this. You need several dice, well, not several players, you need several dice to do it. But you can only place one die on your turn, generally, unless you roll doubles. We had this moment when we were playtesting where I looked around the table and I noticed that some other players had resources that could help me construct the building. And so I said, okay, guys, I'm going to put a worker on this market to help construct it. And I'm hoping you do too. I'm hoping you put your workers there and use your resources to do this too. And it helps us all if we do it. We build it faster. We all get a point. We get a star. And we don't get the penalty that's related to this tile. Because if you don't help out with constructing a market, you get a little ongoing penalty that you have to deal with and work around. And it was just this magical moment of positive player interaction where it felt really, where I was forced to kind of pay attention to other players. Not forced to, but I opted into paying attention to other players. And we ended up working together to build that market. And that became a core part of Euphoria. And obviously, back to the game I'm talking about, Space Base. I think Space Base is a dice game with wonderful positive player interaction. It's not exactly as I described it there, because you're not making a choice that impacts other players. But on Space Base, when other players roll their dice rolls generally benefit you too. And so it feels really good. When I'm playing Space Base, it feels really good when I have a roll that feels good for other players too. It just feels good to play that way, even though it's impacting me even better than those other players. So Space Base, positive player interaction, that's number four on this list. And number three, I have a game that's probably the main inspiration for Euphoria. I don't own the game except on my iPad, and that is Alien Frontiers. Alien Frontiers is one of the original dice worker placement games, maybe even the original dice worker. Actually, no, Kingsburg may have come before it, but Alien Frontiers is a game where you are kind of just venturing out to a planet. Actually, I honestly have not played Alien Frontiers in a while, but I have many fond plays of Alien Frontiers because you're placing dice in a kind of puzzly way because it's kind of. Every game is its own little mini game. Like there's a spot on the board where if you place the six, then the next player must place the six, and the next player must place the six. There's another one where you have to have escalating dice numbers. So the dice numbers really matter quite a bit in Alien Frontiers. They don't matter quite as much in Euphoria when you roll those dice. But yeah, Alien Frontiers, it just has all these little mini puzzles that you're placing with these dice, that you're doing with these dice, and it just was a huge inspiration for Euphoria, and it's a game that I really love. So I really need to get to the table with a tabletop version at some point. But that, yeah, that's Alien Frontiers at number three. And number two, somewhat similarly, but a game that came much later than Euphoria, is The Voyages of Marco Polo. And I thought of this game in particular, both because of the dice worker placement, but also because of the asymmetry in the game. Euphoria uses recruit cards for asymmetry, and Voyages of Marco Polo uses a character that you get at the beginning of the game that has a strong element of asymmetry. You can't get more characters in Marco Polo, but you do have that one big asymmetric character that you work around over the course of the game. And Marco Polo also has a lot of other cool dice worker placement stuff going on. Sometimes you want the numbers to be high, sometimes you want them to be low. There isn't true blocking in Marco Polo because you can place a worker on top of another worker, and you have to pay coins equal to the die that you place. So lower numbers can be good there. Higher numbers are good in other actions. This is something related to Euphoria as well. Lower numbers are good when you're rolling knowledge. Higher numbers are generally better, but not always better in Euphoria. So I tried to have a reason to have variable die numbers in Euphoria. But yeah, Voyages of Marco Polo has a lot of similarities to Euphoria. If you enjoy that game, you probably enjoy Euphoria and vice versa. And finally, at number one, I have Rajahs of the Ganges. This isn't actually a dice worker placement game, but dice play such a huge role in Rajahs because they are the resources that you're spending in the game. And it has a very similar feel to Euphoria in that there's a lot of different things you can do, a lot of different little mini games on the board that you can do with in different ways you can spend your dice to get tiles, to move up on this one-way action selection track, to improve the benefits you get when you make a building, when you construct a building, ways to get more dice, areas where different dice numbers matter. So there's an area where you get a different ability depending on the specific number of die, but the die number doesn't always matter. Just a lot of little dice mini games going on in Rajahs, and I just happen to really love the game. And that's why I wanted to put it at number one. I love Rajahs of the Ganges, and the follow-up, the dice version of the game, is really fun too. And so yeah, this is Rajahs of the Ganges is my number one recommendation if you already love Euphoria, or vice versa. If you love Rajahs, I think you'll have a good chance of enjoying Euphoria as well. I also did want to mention, I need to do a list on about this in the future, but Game Trays did a wonderful job with the trays in Euphoria. So now whenever we reprint Euphoria, the latest reprints of the game have the trays in the box. They are included in the game. And so I think they just did a wonderful job with organizing the game. It makes the setup so quick and easy. And so I wanted to give a quick shout out to Game Trays, and I need to do a top 10 list of games that use Game Trays in the future. But if you do have a game if you do love Game Trays, the organization system in Euphoria, I think is really nice. I think Game Trays did a great job with it. And again, this comes with the game. You don't have to buy these separately. So yeah, those are my top 10 recommendations if you love Euphoria, and again, vice versa, if you love some of these games, pretty good chance that you'll love Euphoria as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments as well. What are some of the things that you love about Euphoria, and a few games that you would recommend to people if they enjoy Euphoria, if you enjoy Euphoria, what are some games that you would recommend to other people and why? Thanks.